Jimmy Muyaha is leading the conversation all across South Africa right now. Stay tuned to SAFM.
Thank you very much for that news update. There'll be more news with the SAFM team at 7 o'clock right now on this day, the 24th of September. Back in 1938, a gentleman by the name of Adolf Hitler would demand that Czechoslovakia cede a place called Sudetenland to Germany. Very interesting time in history there. 1952 on this day, the first ever KFC franchise would be opened in Salt Lake City. In 1957, a couple of things happened on this day. Elvis Presley would give us Jailhouse Rock. The late Mamswangile Khumalo would be born on this day. Of course, she would pass on, sadly, in 2021. And on this day, Camp Nou in 1957, also Camp Nou in Barcelona, the stadium that they still use to this day, would open. In 1969, on this day, the first ever Elvis convention would be held in Cincinnati, having 2,500 people attend that. In 1995, on this day, South Africa would officially celebrate Heritage Day, and a happy Heritage Day to each and every one of you today. In 2007, on this day, The Big Bang Theory would premiere on CBS. You're tuned into the SAFM Market Update with MoneyWeb. I'm your host, Jimmy Muyaha. And on the show today, we take a look at the artistry of business, or the business of artistry, so to speak. We're going to be looking at some small businesses, big businesses, but proudly South African businesses as part of our Heritage Day special today. We've got conversations across various sectors, mostly centered around some form of art. We're going to be speaking to the founders of these businesses. We're going to be speaking to the founder of Madi Lucent, Khumotso Madi. We're going to be speaking to the founder of Barilla Glass, Ryan Manuel. We're going to be chatting to a gentleman by the name of Leroy Khanna. He founded Marked by Khanna. And we've got a conversation with the founder of SK Originals SA, that's Sandy Lekgapola. And then we're wrapping things up with one of the, if not the most proudly South African business that we can all identify with, that is KWV. We've got a conversation with KWV CEO John Looms. So we've got a very special Heritage Day lineup packed for you. As you know, today markets would have been closed in South Africa, so we would not have our usual market segment, but we do have a full show nonetheless.
You are listening to Jimmy Muyaha on SAFM.
We kick things off today with a very special small business that we are looking to celebrate as part of our Heritage Day celebration. We're doing themed conversations today, and the theme is around the artistry of business, or the business of artistry, whichever way you choose to look at it. And kicking us off with that is the founder and owner of a business called Madi Lucent, Khumotso Madi. She joins me now to take a look at her business. Good evening, Khumotso. Thanks so much for taking the time. Tell us about Madi Lucent.
Good evening, Jimmy, and thank you so much for this opportunity. So where do I begin? Madi Lucent is a business I started years ago that finally launched its full-time operation in November 2021. And it's pretty much a life-centered design business. And what we specialize in is design and product development services. So whether you are an individual looking to start your own product line within the fashion industry, or a business looking to create unique gifts for your clients or your employees, or you are a brand looking to extend your own product line, we assist you to bring your concepts and ideas into reality. So that's Madi Lucent in a nutshell. But we also have a brand called Lucid, which is a lifestyle brand, under which we retail our old products and our own designs. And we also have a segment in our business where we do skills training. We facilitate workshops that are design centered and product development centered, mainly within the rural areas and underprivileged areas, trying to upskill our community to be able to be employable or venture into entrepreneurship themselves.
Khumotso, tell me a bit more about the product development and that side of the business. I imagine you would have gone through a couple of different scenarios and tried a couple of different things before landing on this is what you want to offer as a service. How did you get to that?
Well, actually, Madi Lucent was initially fashion accessories brand. So we just focused on that. And throughout our journey, then we then got requests from people to help them also develop their own products. So you get like a fashion designer looking to create belts for their clothing. Let me give you an example. We did Leopard Creek Country Club, where we designed golf accessories for their unique clientele in Kruger National Park. And through that, I then noticed that actually there is a demand for professional assistance in creating and developing your own product line. And then we pivoted the business recently to include design and product development services to help people, as I say, to bring their concepts and ideas to life. So yeah, so that's how we entered the product development space. And we also choose to approach product development with a circular mindset. So meaning what we do is we try our best to create products that have a longer lifespan so that they're not landing up in landfills, or products that actually explore how we maximize the use of the raw materials and resources so that we are using as less as possible and we're creating more sustainable products for our future.
Humazo, tell me about Lucid. This was the first in the business's operations. I understand this was kind of the first product or the first brand that you built out. And I'm looking at the website and there's a lot of high quality products. Is everything handmade?
Yes. So with Lucid, all our products are made on order and everything is made locally from locally sourced materials, local labor. So that's literally our approach. Lucid is pretty much a product line where we create fashion accessories that complement what is already out there in the market in terms of fashion. So our idea is that usually when you're buying an accessory, let's just say a handbag, for example, you are investing quite a lot of money in it, right? And you don't want to have it be used only once. So we try and extend our product's lifespan by innovating the products in such a way that you can wear them in multiple ways. You can interchange certain segments of the products. You can also adjust the products to fit you, whether you're gaining weight or losing weight, you know. So Lucid pretty much is a lifestyle brand, but we mainly specialize at the moment with fashion accessories. So unique fashion accessories only made on order to avoid wasting materials. As I said, we are employing circular philosophies within our business so that our products do have a longer lifespan and we're not wasting any resources. So yeah, so that's the story of Lucid. And actually for us to delve into Lucid and see it as something of value, we won the Converse Create Next competition in 2021. And through that competition, we realized that actually there is a market for what we do. There is a need for what we do. And so Lucid actually is our little baby, and it brought life to everything else that we do, from product development and design services to also skills training. It's all because of Lucid.
And you've got some really interesting accessories under the Lucid brand. I mean, I'm looking at it. You've got some belts, there's some suspenders, there's card holders and purses and very, very unique accessories that individuals can pair with any existing outfits, as you said. Humazo, how do people get hold of you? How do people get in touch with the brand, place orders, view some of your products? Tell us everything.
You could get in touch with us by visiting our website. So we have an e-commerce store on our website, so you can purchase the product directly there, or you could visit our social media platforms. We are at Marie Lucent on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, so you can contact us through that, or directly through email at info@marielucent.com. And as I said, all our products are bespoke, so meaning we do not keep stock of products. So as you order the product, we actually create it for you according to your specifications. So you can choose the kind of metalware you want, the kind of leather you want, the leather color that you want. If you want to personalize the product, we also offer that. So what we do is we customize everything, whether it's product development for a brand. We would customize it according to your needs, whether it's you buying or retailing. I mean, purchasing a product from us, a Lucid item, we also customize that for you according to your unique needs.
So everything is unique and customizable. Khumuzo, before I let you go, what next for the business? What next for the brand? What do you have in mind?
We have some exciting projects. We recently started working closely with the head of marketing for Ferrari South Africa. So we're busy working on exciting projects there. So coming soon. And we also have an upcoming collaboration with Kagiso Dinaka, who is a lawyer turned investor in the company. And we'll be launching a few new products in the next few months. And also some exciting things in the sustainability area. We are currently in talks with Hinu, which is a textile upcycling company, to actually see how we could use reimagined textiles or refurbished textiles to create luxury products. And yeah, so that's what's exciting and what's coming up in the business in the next few months. So yeah.
Racing forward into the future sounds like a very exciting time to be part of the business. We wish you all of the best of luck and all of the best successes in your businesses. That is Mari Lucent's founder and CEO, Khumuzo Mari, joining me for our business feature on the artistry of business as part of our show today.
My name is Farza Masani. I'm the co-founder and CEO of the crypto exchange Valor. This week I'm on the MoneyWeb Crypto podcast, and exploring a somewhat philosophical subject: is Bitcoin an instrument of freedom? And if so, what will that freedom look like? It's an important subject for all of us. We've got problems with our current financial system and society at large. Join us.
Don't forget, join me, Kieran Ryan, weekly on the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast. Listen on moneyweb.co.za, the MoneyWeb app, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify.
MoneyWeb, your trusted source for business and investment insights.
You are listening to Jimmy Muyaha on SAFM.
And we continue with our special conversations today around the business of artistry. We're taking a look at another South African small business that is doing exceptionally well and looking to grow even bigger. We're speaking to the founder of Barilla Glass, Ryan Manuel. Good evening, Ryan. Thanks so much for taking the time. Tell us about Barilla Glass. What do you do?
Well, we're a glass-blowing arts business. We basically specialize in doing sort of all forms of artwork that require molten glass working by hand. So we don't really do stained glass or any of that type of thing. It's more like the old school Murano sort of stuff, that kind of thing. So, yeah, basically it's what I studied when I was in art college, and I've wanted to run it as a business ever since. And we're trying to bring it up here in South Africa because there's only a handful of people that do it here.
Ryan, where does one even study to be a glass blower, and what do you study?
Well, you've got the only place in the country that does actually teach it, as far as the art side of it goes, is TUT in Pretoria. They've got a glass art shop there, and I was not even aware of it when I started, because when I first started, it was still Pretoria Technicon, about 20 years ago. And when I went there on my first day, I found the glass center, and that's kind of where I decided that was one of the majors I wanted to take up. So, yeah, there's not a lot of places that you can actually study it here. That would be the one, and you would have to study a full-time arts degree to do that. Alternatively, you can learn from somebody who does it. We do offer classes, that is, well, where people can come and do workshops with us at our studio. But that's on a more informal kind of basis, depending on what you want to do with it.
So, Ryan, at what point did you decide that this was not only a passion, but something you actually wanted to make a business out of?
It was during my studies. I mean, that was my main focus. But once I had finished my studies, I realized that there wasn't a lot of places you could go to do this. There were a few places in the country where I could have moved to and worked with other artists. But doing it myself was a bit of a challenge because it's quite a lot of setup cost. So I did work for a few different companies in the time in between. And I did get a different job as well to start saving to finance my own equipment. And it's been a journey through this, through the last 20 years, keeping up working, keeping the skills going, and basically saving to get what I've got at the moment. So, yeah, it's not the easiest thing to set up, but we're starting to get it more popularized here in the country, and also helping people with setting up as well. And I'm currently in the process of building a furnace, which is going to be a less industrial type one and a more sort of hobby orientated towards small business orientated setup, and it's going to be made locally. So that's one of the avenues that we're busy opening up on.
Ryan, when you make the pieces, I mean, I've seen some of the pieces that you've put out, very unique pieces that you put together. How do you sort of come up with it? What inspires you to make a piece? Is everything sort of personalized to the client? Where do you get your inspiration from?
Well, obviously, in terms of art, we take inspiration from things around us, things that interest us. So if I'm working on a sculptural piece, that's how I'm making for with a conceptual kind of design to it. I will take inspiration usually personally from nature and from I like doing a lot of stuff that's also inspired by like the night sky and that kind of thing. So that's my personal preference. But we do a lot of custom work with clients where we'll speak about a design process and go through what they want and do some sketches, drawings, possibly some paintings at the beginning to come up with a concept. And then we'll take the design route down that direction. My business partner, TNC, is very big into the smokeware, and there's a lot of different design aspects that he uses on his side there as well.
Ryan, if someone's interested in getting classes or coming through for classes to the studio, where are the studios based? How does the process work? Is it specific classes for specific kind of skill sets, or is it just a come have fun kind of environment?
Well, the classes, they take place at our studio, which is at the Prison Break Market in Glenfinnes. And what we offer normally is as a general starting point, we call it a taster session. It's a two-hour class where you get to basically work with glass as an art medium and get the feel for it, because it's a very, very different material to use when working. You know, if you're painting, you've got your paint that you're painting onto a canvas, and depending on the paint you use, will stay wet for a certain amount of time, and you'll be able to manipulate it. If you're sculpting with, say, clay, you can change its shape also for, you know, a decent amount of time. But with glass, you have it molten, and it's only workable when it's extremely hot at like over 1,000 degrees. And then you've got probably between 20 and 40 seconds in which you can work it until it becomes sort of hard again, and then you have to reheat it. So getting used to that takes quite a bit of coordination. And the initial class, we help people just have that experience and feel what it's like, because it's a totally, totally different experience. And then if people want to take it further and, you know, use it as a hobby that they want to get into and take it in a particular direction, then we'll help them with that. And there are a lot of different avenues that you can go in with terms of what you want to make. You can make jewelry, like with beads and pendants and things. You can make little sculptural pieces, figurines, that you can make vases and tableware. There's the smokeware as well. So there's a vast range of stuff that can be made out of glass. And whatever anyone's particular preference is, we will guide them along that process and show them the relevant skills that they'll need in order to be able to do it. And then we also offer helping them setting up for themselves if they want. But we do also offer our studio out for rental if people want to work in it, but they don't have space for it at home. They can come and hire some time at our studio and work on their craft there with us.
Ryan, how do people get hold of you? Where can people contact you? What's the website details, email addresses, all of that information?
The best is via either WhatsApp or phone call. We've also got a Facebook page set up where they can message us there on Facebook. It's Barilla Glass. We do have a website as well. We're just busy with the site. It is live. People can go and see it and see some of our stuff. We just don't have the booking portal sorted out just yet. It's going to be running probably in the next month or so because we've been adding and changing a few things on there. But yeah, the best would be to contact us either via Facebook or by just calling directly on our number.
There you have it, folks. Barilla Glass for all of your customized glass needs. If you want to take up glass making as a hobby, give them a shout. They can probably help with that as well. That's Barilla, as in B-O-R-I-L-L-A, glass. And the founder is Ryan Manuel. Thanks so much, Ryan. We wish you the best of luck with your business, and we hope to see you succeed even more in future.
You are listening to Jimmy Muyaha on SAFM.
And we continue with the proudly South African businesses that we are looking into on the special Heritage Day episode of our show. I'm joined on the line by the founder and CEO of Marked by Kana, Leroy Kana, to take a look at his company and just get a sense of what they do. Leroy, good evening. Thanks so much for taking the time. Let's start with how you got into art.
Well, I got into art. I just want to greet everybody first who's listening at the moment. And I just want to say... thank you for the opportunity to obviously talk about my business. And I want to also talk about my business and encourage other people who don't have maybe the platform to actually express themselves as far as their business is concerned. Yeah, so having to say that, well, I got into this business because I obviously have a talent for creative stuff. You know what I mean? So I could draw from a very young age and I could express how I feel. And I fell in love with colors at a very young age. So therefore, it's something that actually stuck with me since I was very young. So I had to follow up on it, basically.
Leroy, take me through why you decided to go with the particular kind of medium that you went through when you built Marked by Kana. I mean, it's not often that you see people decide to take an item of clothing and say, this is going to be my canvas, effectively.
Okay, well, there's a couple of reasons behind that. First thing first, since I was growing up, I was known as a guy that loves fashion, appearance, and obviously, through that, I was inspired by clothing items, different clothing items. But because I have a gift of art, and I always wanted to be, obviously, a visual artist or a graphic designer, multimedia designer, whatever design discipline, and architecture, you know what I mean? Whatever design discipline that I wanted to choose, I wanted to express it through my love, which is clothing. So in that journey, I felt like the industry of art, you know, quite a lot of artists express themselves on canvases or on walls. And because what I loved was fashion, and I found the denim as one piece of clothing item that everybody has to have in their closet. So I chose denim because of also the fabric that is hard. So it's as good as a canvas. But now you have this clothing item that you can wear it with your on your body, and you can actually walk around and express yourself and show whatever that you want to show. So basically, it was a very kind of like a very unique niche that I've actually chose, basically. Mm. So I stuck on that.
Mm. Leroy, you've designed some really interesting pieces for some very well-known people. You've been at this for quite some time. Mm. What would you say has been the most memorable piece you've done? And do you have a favorite piece? Or is each piece kind of unique?
Yeah, each piece is... I feel like I remember I actually wrote something about every piece that I feel like is my best piece that I've done, actually. It's not as really appreciated by other people as much as I do, you know what I mean? Because it's only me that knows how much work goes in each and every piece. And I must have, believe me or not, must have done manually over 500 pieces of clothing item. I'm talking about denim only, you know what I mean? Like nationwide, sending, you know, different jackets to celebrities to try and market my stuff. And, you know, some of them, they weren't even paying for sure, because obviously I asked them to actually market the stuff. So I've done quite a lot of eye-catching pieces. I've done a denim jacket for Floyd Mayweather Jr. I'm sure if you know the American boxer Floyd Mayweather, I've done jackets for Black Coffee. I've done jackets for DJ Smoo, Somizi, the Vusinovas. But one of the most outstanding jackets I've done for my ex-girlfriend who passed away, Zoleka Mandela, because that one is, it holds a bit of sentiment because it's got a personal touch on it. I've done those two jackets for her. Unfortunately, she's not with us anymore. I've done a jacket for Sol Penduka, who's currently on Podcast and Chill. Very beautiful jacket that, you know, like people just always ask about, hey, if I want a jacket that looks like Sol Penduka's jacket, how can I get it? You know what I mean? So those are kind of like iconic type of jackets that I've actually done, you know, leading up to this point.
Now, Leroy, it wasn't always easy to get your brand out there. I mean, I'm sure you remember some challenging times where you started out and you were, as you said, trying to get your brand seen and in the eyes of consumers and that. How do people see the brand now? How do people get hold of it? If someone is interested in making or placing an order with you, how does that process work? Where do people find you? How do people get in touch with you?
I mean, thanks God to technology. You know, I mean, nowadays we're using social media to actually reach to quite a lot of people that are out there. I remember I'm actually in connection with people in the UK, in the US, just because of the fact that I have a social media platform, and I'm operating basically on Instagram. So that's where my business is planted, because that's where the business grew. I remember the first time people got to really know about the business, it's because I made an anniversary jacket for Corny Ferguson and the late Shauna Ferguson for their anniversary before Mr. Shauna Ferguson passed away. May his soul rest in peace. So that's how people got to know about my business on social media, Instagram in particular. So that's where I thought, okay, look, because now it's easier to reach people on social media, let me use this platform, Instagram, in particular, to actually plant this business. People will reach me on Instagram or social media, and obviously based on the word of mouth, because people do talk, and they obviously pass on the word from person to person to, you know, like to try and reach out to me. So I have all my details on social media, and obviously my social media handle is markedbyKana_thebestever. So that's how the people reach me, basically.
Leroy, where to from here for the business? What do you hope to achieve? I mean, what do you hope to grow into? You've already got an international client base. What next for you?
Okay, so right now, the business needs to scale up. To be honest with you, this is where the business is currently at the moment, because people, as I say, I create one piece at a time. I just recently did a piece for, during the Mandela Day, I did a piece of Nelson Mandela. But to duplicate that and make more of those jackets to maybe 10 people, 15 people, will need something like mass production. So that's the mass production business that I'm trying to get in now. So I'm trying to spread the word to companies out there that deals with fabric, or factories that deal with, you know, duplicating clothing items, maybe factories that are in China even, you know, like, or people that know, you know, those kind of factories that you can duplicate clothing items for other people that love those kind of unique pieces, because I know my clothing items are very unique. I just did a piece to commemorate the late AKS. The people were asking about it, like, yo, how can I get hold of this jacket? But I just did one piece. So I really need that mass production, and that mass production will create jobs for people. I need people to market the business. I need people to manage the business to help me with those proposals so we can get the funding. We can get enough money for me to create a culture, because people really love the business, but it's just maybe finer twitches there and there to actually make the business prosper, and I can give South Africans an opportunity to actually join my business, and we make a team, and we expand the business, basically. Yeah.
Well, we wish you the best of luck in that journey. If there are sponsors or companies out there that are interested in partnering or collaborating with Leroy, be sure to reach out to him on his Instagram page. It is marked by Kana, as in CANA _ the best ever. Thanks, Leroy, for the time. All the best to you and your business for the future. That's Leroy Ekana, the founder of Marked by Kana, joining us as a part of our show.
Hello, Jeremy Maggs here. I've just finished recording the next episode of Fix SA on MoneyWeb. I'm in conversation with the former chief executive of the Johannesburg Stock Exchange and soldier, Roy Anderson. We'll be looking at leadership style and approach when it comes to solving problems, comparing the role of discipline in military and civilian leadership and strategies for setting and achieving goals under pressure. Join me, Jeremy Maggs, and South Africa's top leaders on the fortnightly MoneyWeb Fix SA podcast. Listen on moneyweb.co.za, the MoneyWeb app, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. MoneyWeb, your trusted source for business and investment insights.
You are listening to Jimmy Muyaha on SAFM.
In continuing with our art-themed businesses around South Africa, there's been a really good artist who's done some amazing things over the last couple of years. I've personally been a fan of his work for quite some time, but I will let him tell you more about what he does, how he got into it, and where you can get hold of that art. I'm joined on the line by Sandy Lekgapola, who is the founder of SK Original Arts, to take a look at his business and try and understand what he does. Sandile, good evening. Thanks so much for taking the time. Some people might not exactly know what it is you do, and I find it very hard that some people haven't seen you or seen your work online. But let's start right at the beginning. At what point did you decide that you could break glass and make stuff?
Good evening, Jimmy. Thank you for having me. To get to this point where I'm at, I started with drawing. So I always drew cartoons and everything. I used to just draw out cartoons, work on my line work and everything. When lockdown hit, that's when I started drawing actual faces. And a year later from that, that's when I started painting. So I transitioned from doing charcoal graphite art into doing paintings out of acrylic and sometimes even oil. I'm always about getting into versatility. So I like expanding my reach in terms of what I can do or people I can reach, you know? So I, from there, progressed into making rugs, which is basically carpets. From there, I made cracked glass art. That's how I transitioned into getting into that type of art style.
Sandile, I've dropped a glass before, and I've seen the way in which glass shatters. How do you do it and get your artwork such that it's so precise and doesn't fall apart and shatter everywhere and get cracks in the worst places? Because anyone that's seen the quality of your cracked glass, it's impeccable.
Well, destruction is beautiful to a certain extent. And to be fair, this isn't a glass that holds water, you know? It's actually pretty much thicker than that. Mm. It's a thick type of glass that I use that for me to crack the thing, which allows there for there to be cracks without it having to fall apart, which works to my advantage when I crack the glass. So that's how I make everything stay intact while hitting it. And also the pressure control on the hammer. That's actually number one.
Very, very interesting indeed. Sandile, you said you obviously have been involved in various art forms and versatility is kind of your thing. Everything that you've done, what would you say has kind of been your favorite go-to medium? Because I've also seen the rugs that you've done as well, and that they take a lot of effort and a lot of work to put in. But which do you enjoy doing the most?
I enjoy doing cracked glass art the most, to be honest, because it's more of an expressive medium, you know? If you had a long day, a lot of people go to the gym, which I also do. You know, it has this relief that you get when you go to the gym. Like, yeah, stress gone, your levels are back up again. And also it has this boost of energy, which is also how I feel when I do cracked glass art. So I always work on it, and sometimes, depending on the type of image I want to do, I can portray a certain feeling, or if not the feeling, through the image itself, through the technique when cracking it, you know, so I get to be more expressive in what I do and still feel fulfilled at the end.
When we look at some of the pieces you've done, Sandile, you've done some really big pieces. I mean, you've done pieces for the likes of the late Shona Ferguson. You've done pieces of the former president, Jacob Zuma. You've really done some epic pieces. Do you have a favorite piece? Do you have something in particular where you're like, this was the best work that I've done? Or is it more just each piece is unique? Each piece speaks to the person that you might be portraying or the message you want to get across. What inspires it?
I don't want to give you a boring answer and say each piece is unique. I do have quite like a favorite. Mm. I had a client artwork that I had to do, which is one of the biggest artworks I've ever done. And I don't post client artwork, right? So everything I post is the social media side of everything and the business side of things. It takes a lot more to post. I have to get permission and all that. So I don't really post client work, but this is one client work I did. It was so huge. And I liked the freedom I had when I did it. The client was like, no, it can be almost any face, but as long as it portrays the certain thing I wanted to portray, you know, I wanted to portray a Soto man. And that's exactly what I did. And when I executed that thing, I had so much fun with the amount of freedom I had. And the largeness of the glass itself was bigger than anything I've posted on my socials, you see. Mm-hmm. And another, if I could make a favorite that everyone can see, I'd say the Jacob Zuma artwork, because of the detail on that artwork. I did the hand, the face, and you can see he's wearing glasses. I like that everything I wanted to show is being seen properly and easily there, especially the wrinkles on the hands.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that piece and I'm looking at it now again. You see the wrinkles, you see the fingernails. It's quite a detailed piece of work. Let's talk about the business side of things, Sandile. How did you then go from, okay, this is my passion and now I'm going to monetize it? Or did you always know from the beginning that that's kind of the route you wanted to take?
No, I didn't. We don't have art school in where I'm from. I'm from Polokwane and we're really quite limited in that type of resources, you know? So for me to figure that out, I always used to just draw for the fun of drawing. So I'd draw what I want to draw, put it out there in the social media world, have it seen, you know, also absorb other inspiration on social media, the people that I like looking at their content, other artists, you know. And I realized that they are actually making a living from this. If not, they at least do it as a hustle. And I was like, that's actually what I want to do. That seems like something you can do and still be happy with yourself about. Like, you can do your passion and still make, you know, your money from. And I had this idea since I was drawing cartoons, and it's a thing of, you're drawing cartoons, people are like, it's Popeyes or something, you know, they're not really taking it serious. And someone out there is really making their living from it. Not just about making millions or whatever, but they're making a living. They can live off of it, which is something I wanted to do, you know? So from progressing to do that, I drew people since high school. So, you know, I made good lunch money, if I do say so myself. I made enough to, like, at least for a kid, you know, you're doing very well as a kid when you're drawing people. And then I progressed. I was like, okay, fine, let me level this up. Let me not just focus on supplying the demand, but let me control what type of demand it is. Let me specify the niche as I keep going. Let me take it higher and higher. And right now I'm able to live off of it, you know. I'm still getting a hang of the business side, but I'm doing pretty well. You know, I've been blessed enough to be able to buy a car, you know, have an apartment to pay rent from, all that. So I'm doing pretty well right now.
Mm. So Sandile, if people want to get hold of you and they want to get one of the artworks or commission something for you to do for them, how's that process work? What happens? Do people just slide in your DMs? And do you have rates? Do you decide the rate that you're going to charge people? Tell me everything. Tell me all about that.
Okay, cool. So easiest way to hit me up is if you go onto my Instagram DMs, like a quick chat type of thing. You tap this, you get this response. And if you follow those, you go clean, you know, you can get the type of response you want. Also the emails in my Instagram bio. If you go to TikTok, it's going to be the same thing. It's going to redirect you to my email on my Instagram. So the best place to get me is on my emails. And when it comes to rates really depend. It's not all the same. It's never really the same because different people want different faces on different sizes of glass, amounts of faces. So it's always queued up to the amount of faces, the size of the glass. The amount of detail sometimes too, and delivery.
Right. What's that Instagram handle again?
Instagram handle is @SKOriginalRSA. There is underscores between the SK_OriginalRSA. So it's SK_Original_RSA.
There you have it, folks. Go check out Sandile Khapola's artwork. It really is something I would recommend you go and take a look at. It's phenomenal work. He's been at it for quite some time, and he's really doing exceptionally well. Sandile, thanks so much for giving us an insight into your business, into your passion, and what it is that you do. We wish you the best of luck. Continue to fly the Limpopo flag high. Some of us are very happy that we know that you are from Polokwane, and we are also from there. But we'll leave it at that. Thanks so much, Sandile Khapola, who is the founder and CEO of Sandile SK Originals Arts. You can find him on Instagram. You can find him on all socials. Be sure to check him out. I'll post some of the stuff on my side, on my socials, and link to his pages as well.
You are listening to Jimmy Muyaha on SAFM.
And we're wrapping up our conversations today with a very special conversation around the artistry of business, or rather the business of artistry. We're chatting to one of the most South African brands that I know, and that certainly you probably recognize when I mention the brand. That is the brand that is KWV. They have been in South Africa. They were born and bred in South Africa. And I'm joined on the line by the company's CEO, John Looms, to just get a sense of what heritage looks like from a business's perspective. Good evening, John. Thanks so much for taking the time. Many people might not know this, but KWV's roots in South Africa are as old as Nelson Mandela himself, 106 years old, both founded in 1918. And the fact that KWV is the first brandy to have ever been produced in South Africa. Take me through just that story, that history, that legacy.
Thank you very much, Jimmy. And it's good to be able to talk to you in the show. Yes, KWV, been around since 1918, as you've said. Our very first bottle of commercial brandy was made in 1926, and we were the first commercial bottle to be made. Prior to that, though, there had been brandy made for significantly longer, sort of almost 300 years since we've been making wine. It's been distilled into brandy as well, or brandy of sorts. So, yes, we at KWV, incredibly proud of our brandy making skill, and of course, the role that brandy fulfills within South Africa across all of our demographies and in our heritage. I don't think there's a South African that doesn't know brandy. And lest I say, most of the people that have consumed alcohol have probably tried a brandy in their time.
John, last month we were in the midst of the World Olympics that was taking place in France. And in that time, you sort of had your own little version of the Olympics, the International Spirits Challenge, where KWV took part. Take me through that experience, and take me through what it looks like to take a proudly South African brandy brand like KWV to the world stage and compete against other spirits makers.
Thank you. Yes, indeed. The ISC the International Spirits Competition is indeed probably the Olympics of spirits competitions. And we've entered it for quite a few years since they've been around. And again, we've done particularly well. We obviously compete in the brandy category, and brandy is broken up into sort of brandy, cognac, and armagnac. We compete specifically within brandy. Cognac is obviously from a region within France, and only grapes grown and produced in France can compete in that section. So we were up against certainly the best in the world and some South African competitors as well. And we managed to really bring gold home. We got awarded out of our entrance, which was seven. We managed to get three double golds, three golds, and a silver against the best in the world. We were certainly the only South African company to bring home double golds. So we are incredibly proud, and it remains, you know, not the first time we've done it. So yes, we've brought gold home, incredibly proud of our pot still brandies and our blended brandies, which manage these accolades.
John, you touched on this a little earlier, that KWV, for as much as it was originally established as a brandy business, is a lot more than that. And I want to look at that now. I want to look at how the business has transformed itself over the last 105, 106 odd years to include things like the KWV wines and the specialized brandies and the commercial brandies. Take me through just what the product range looks like now, 100 years later, and how that still keeps you guys on top of your game.
Thank you. Yes, we started out very much within wine, and that was still wine and fortified wine, fortified being the likes of the sweeter sort of sherries and ports as they were known, as well as still wines. Within the still wine segment, you know, we've got a broad portfolio of wines as well, from our very premium The Mentors range, which also wins accolades internationally very frequently, through Cathedral Cellar is our next sort of tier, and then through the Rodeburg range, another sort of quite broad range of products, and we've got some extremely exciting innovation in there with our Rodeburg Black product, which is really turning heads. It's quite a fruit-forward, sort of more mature taste, but an extremely popular innovation. And then through the sort of middle price range, which is our KWV Classic and La Bourie, which is also one of our brands, into our entries, which is the Pearly Bay and the Bon Esperance bag and box range, which is entry level. So then brandies, as you know, we're in the Potstill range, which is it's premium Potstill brandies, and those commercially are around about sort of 2,000 Rand down to kind of 350. And then within our more sort of commercial blended brandy ranges, we've got our 5-year and our 3-year, extremely popular for the guys that want brandy with a mixer. And of course, we compete with a number of South African heavyweights in the brandy division there, guys who are certainly bigger than us in terms of their turnover on the blended brandy side. Apart from brandy and wine, we are also quite popular in gin. We've got two gin brands being Imagine Gin as an entry-level brand, fairly new introduction and growing well, as well as our craft gin called Cruxland. The uniqueness of our Cruxland is that it's infused with truffle flavor, and it's quite different and extremely popular. So we won a number of awards, fortunately, with that as well. We then do, in the liqueur range, we've got a number, our biggest one being Wild Africa Cream, which is a cream liqueur and also has come from very humble, sort of very small size, to being about 25% of the total cream volume in South Africa now. So we're very proud of our performance across the board. We do have a lot of other brands, probably too numerous, but I'll mention a couple of the other sort of highlights. And that is our sparkling wine category, where we have Annabelle, which is a newcomer to sparkling wine, entry level, as well as our Cap Classique, which is our La Bourie Cap Classique, also an award winner in its own right in South Africa. And then, you know, there's a handful of other sort of shooters and tequilas and that kind of thing that we do, the likes of Ponchos, Carvo, Sour Monkey, and then we have other ready-to-drink products, the likes of Hooch, the likes of Chow, and some non-alcoholic offerings as well. So quite an extensive portfolio, Jimmy.
Certainly a very, very extensive portfolio. It's some of the brands that you've mentioned people would recognize, but not necessarily know that they belong to the KWV family. John, I want to look at what next for the business. I mean, something that's obviously of real importance to the business is sustainability, but also contributing towards the communities that exist within the KWV ecosystem. Take me through what the business has planned next from an innovation perspective, but also from a sustainability perspective.
Thanks, Jimmy. Yes, from a sustainability point of view, the one thing that we need to do firstly as a company is to obviously sustain ourselves. And we are in an ecosystem, as you say. So we are focused on continuing to grow. And continued growth means we can continue to contribute right through our value chain, from our producers, our farmers, all the way through our communities that support us in the services they provide, our employees, our contributions to CSI initiatives, to the nonprofits that we support, all of that will continue as we continue to sustain and grow ourselves. So we do have a very growth focus going into the future, Jimmy. You know, and we see this coming from really two big directions. The one is organic growth, which we'll continue with our existing brands, because despite having the name that we've had, you know, we are not massive in the South African market, because in years gone by, KWB product was not available in South Africa for many, many years. And it became available in the early 2000s only. Prior to that, it was only export. So we have a long way to go, certainly from a share perspective in South Africa, to still grow. So that's the first piece. The second piece is sort of non-organic growth. And that would be through acquisitions of new brands, potentially new companies. But certainly we are hungry for that. We have very supportive shareholders and funding to grow ourselves, because obviously to grow, you need funds, and we have that. So we're fortunate, and we are very hungry to continue, and of course to keep investing in our people, in our communities that support us. From a sustainability point of view, we are always looking at our value chains to try and be more efficient, use less carbon. We have started to measure that of late. And we are focused on leaving a smaller footprint and being very environmentally conscious, as well as we, you know, continue to provide the products that our consumers love.
John, the million-dollar question. It's Heritage Day today. What is the best way to enjoy a KWV? I know I've got some friends that think a Brandewijn and Coke cannot be substituted, but I want to hear it straight from your mouth.
I always say, and this is not a cop-out, and I will then tell you my favorite. I always say the way you enjoy your brandy is exactly the way you enjoy it. That's the best brandy you can. If you like a blended brandy, it's really, really good to have it with, in my view, a plain old Coke or a lemonade or an appetizer, or even something quite nice, and I'm quite partial to, is a ginger beer. And then, you know, if you want to look at our pot stills, definitely from 10 years and up, I would have that on ice, sipped slowly. It doesn't get better, really doesn't.
There you have it, folks. That's the best way to enjoy your Heritage Day. If you haven't done that already, please do so responsibly, of course. And here's to another 106 years of a proudly South African business. We'll leave it at that, John. Thanks so much for the time and for the insights. It's John Loom, CEO at KWV, joining me to reflect on the heritage and the business and the artistry that is KWV.
You are listening to Jimmy Muyaha on SAFM.
That's been the show for today, folks. We hope you had a blessed Heritage Day and enjoyed the show with us. If you've missed any of our conversations, we're going to put them up online. We're going to put up all these businesses online as well. Be sure to go out and support them. It's gone 7 o'clock, which means the evening news team is standing by to give you the latest round of evening news. It also means from my side, good night.